What brought the Soviet Union and the United States together during the Cold War? Walrus. Now, a new federal database created with more than a century of information shows where those animals haul out on both sides of the border. And that's especially important as sea ice disappears and the animals spend more time on land. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins reports.
There's just so many animals there. It really reverberates in your chest, especially when you're laying on the sand.
That's Tony Fishbach, a wildlife biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. He's describing listening to more than 10,000 walruses on the beach in Point Lay. When he's in the field, Fishbach dresses up in an outfit that looks like beach debris to sneak up on the animals to radio tag them. He says not too long ago, this spot looked different.
Well, prior to 2007, we've never had large numbers of walruses on the northwestern coast of Alaska.
That's when the sea ice disappeared off the continental shelf of the Chukchi Sea. In the summer, female walruses and their babies spend time offshore hauling out. They float on sea ice to a walrus version of the grocery store, an area full of nutrient-dense food like clams. But with the melt, they've had no choice but to come onshore.
When they're onshore, if they get moving, they can develop into a panic and there can be trampling injuries and deaths.
Fishbach says he's encountered over 100 walruses who died like this, mostly babies. But this isn't the only time in history biologists have been concerned about the Pacific walrus. In the 1960s, Fishbach says commercial over-harvesting, not melting sea ice, was seen as a potential danger. And to get an idea about walrus population, the United States had to team up with an unlikely ally.
Even the Cold War was not able to stop this work from happening.
Anatoly Kochnev is the co-author with Fishbach on the haul-out database, which holds 160 years worth of information. It's a historical treasure trove, from old ship logs to joint aerial surveys that happened before the fall of the Soviet Union. Basically, our countries go way back on working together on walrus.
Walruses are not political and do not respect any political boundaries.
Knowing that, Kochnev says Russian and American scientists agreed to work together. Our countries collected and shared information on walruses that could shape policy decisions today. All of this when Russia was still ruled by a communist party.
In the Soviet era, financing was provided to the scientists, and that was provided to do the aerial surveys by plane. And the last one of those was in 1990, and that was the last year the Soviet Union funded the surveys.
Since then, Kochnev says Russia has been through some tight economic times, and the funding for projects like this has largely dried up. So I ask, how is he able to spend months at a time in remote parts of Russia studying walruses?
He says that I know myself how he finds money and that I don't need to ask him.
That's Elizabeth Kruger, my Russian translator. She works for the World Wildlife Fund. The organization helps pay for Kochnev's research. Remember Point Lay, the spot where Tony Fishbach observed over 10,000 walruses hauling out? Just across the Bering Strait is Cape Tsertsi Common. Kochnev has documented more than 100,000 walruses hauling out there. And over the years, he says he's witnessed the effects of climate change firsthand. Polar bears attacking and killing walruses, something he says biologists hadn't observed at the haul-out before. And just recently, they've seen evidence of walruses eating birds.
That can be an indication that they are finding it more difficult to find food and that their normal food source is not enough. The walruses predating on birds happened 30 years ago, but it is very rare. Now we're starting to see it more often.
Both Kochnev and Fishbach say they hope the haul-out database can help illuminate what's happening to the Pacific walrus. Next year, the feds will decide if the animal should be on the endangered species list. And the database has already received attention from a private company that advises the industry on oil and gas. Fishbach says the database couldn't have happened without decades of scientists working across the Bering Strait.
Even down to the small details, you know, I was having trouble working with the Russian language, representing the Russian script in the database because it's in Cyrillic and I'm using Latin script. And the complexity of that on computer systems is really daunting.
And a Russian scientist who wasn't even working on this project put in the time to lend a hand. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.